Galatians chapter 5. We're continuing our series called Galatians, Freedom is Ours. Every week we've been talking about freedom and slavery. And in a lot of ways, we could talk every week about freedom and slavery because there's something about us as human beings that we continue to get chained to something or someone, don't we? We get free, we find a place of freedom, and God delivers us. And he certainly can do that to where we don't have to be chained any longer, but we find ourselves continuing to be chained. And just like the video clip from the movie Defiant Ones, Tony Curtis and Sidney Poitier are chained together and they're running from justice. And they're trying to break their chain with a rock. And they're not getting anywhere. They're just expending all of their energy. And sometimes we're doing the same exact thing with our chains. We're beating them with a rock. And we're really trying to do it our hardest, trying to give maximum effort, but in essence, we're just beating it with a rock. Or we're beating our heads into the wall, and we don't seem to find freedom. I believe one of the reasons why we're not finding freedom is because we're searching after the wrong kind of freedom. We have a faulty definition of what spiritual freedom really is. So that's what I want to talk about this morning is what truly spiritual freedom is and the small things in our lives that can forfeit our freedom. We don't look at them as being even very important. We look at them maybe the same way we would look at a white lie, but in fact, they actually forfeit our freedom. Again, we're beating this chain with a rock and we're not getting anywhere. So Galatians chapter 5, I want to read verses 1 through 15. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We mention this almost every week during Galatians. Why? Because the book of Galatians is very cyclical. Paul continues to tell the Galatians the same thing over and over again in different ways. Why? Because they, like us, are hard-headed. And we need to hear it in different ways and at different times. If you didn't hear it the first 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks that we've been talking about freedom, then perhaps we'll hear it today. Maybe today is the time that God will unlock something in our minds and in our hearts. Verse 2 of chapter 5. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, to remind you, one of the main issues that Paul is addressing at the church of Galatia is here's a bunch of Gentiles who have come to the Lord and are now being told by the Judaizers that they must now, that they have saving faith in Jesus Christ, now they must follow the law and specifically have the covenant sign of God's people, that of circumcision. And so Paul is adamantly trying to tell them, listen, you've already got that covenant sign. You have the Holy Spirit that's living within you. You do not need anything in the flesh to do so. Verse 3, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You can't just do one thing. If you're going to rely on the law to be your saving grace, then you need to do it all, which of course we cannot. Verse 4, you who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor circumcision has any value. Paul again addresses, listen, guys, it's not the circumcision that is the big deal. It's the motive behind why you are now wanting to be circumcised. He says, I don't care one way or the other if you're circumcised or you're not. It's that you're looking to that to be righteous before God the Father. And he says, that reasoning is faulty and you forfeit your freedom. In fact, Paul, we read it in the book of Acts chapter 16. Paul even had his running mate, Timothy, be circumcised because it would have helped him in ministry to the Jews. So he wasn't opposed to this act. He was opposed to the reason behind it, the motivation. verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. It's really interesting. A couple weeks ago, we really talked about faith a lot, and we read some of the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. And one of the aspects that we must remember is that the only life that God honors, the only life that God accepts, is a life lived in faith. And here it says that the outward sign of that faith is love, which makes total sense because Jesus said that the law and the prophets can be concised or can be summarized into two statements. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Basically, love your God with everything that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. Love others the same way you love yourself. Your faith is expressed in love. He's saying, let love be the expression, not circumcision. Verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Paul, many times in his letters, he does it a lot in his letter to the Corinthians, talks about sports and talks about running specifically, and that we're running a race and we're trying to achieve this prize. Here he gives this visual of somebody cutting in on you. The whole concept is it's dragging you behind. It may have caused you to stumble and fall. It may have just made you slower to where you're not running the race at the pace you were before. And he's saying that if we allow these small things, such as obeying the law in circumcision or whatever it might be, some things we're going to be getting to in a few moments, then we are cutting our race short. We are tripping and falling. Verse 8, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. It's not coming from God. It's coming from another voice. It's coming from another action. It's coming from something or someone else. Verse 9, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Here's this idea, this illustration that Paul uses. He also uses it to the Corinthians, and Jesus also used it in a different way, that if you have a batch of dough, if you put a little bit of yeast, it works itself throughout the whole batch of dough to where all of it now is contaminated or filled with yeast. Likewise, we do the same thing when we allow small things in our lives. Verse 10, I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Wow. He does not pull any punches. I'm not going to get into what that means. Hopefully you know what that means. Verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. We were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that as we unpack this portion of Scripture, Lord, your letter to the church at Galatia, Lord, we ask that we would take it to heart, that you would speak to us in our situation. Lord, forgive us for turning to other things other than you. God, our desire is to give you preeminence in our lives. God, so often, just as in the video clip, we find ourselves running chained to something or someone else and trying with all our might to break free, but it's no use. Lord, we're asking you this morning for freedom. We're asking you for liberty, for you to break the chains that bind us. Lord, I pray first of all that you would unchain our minds, Lord, our hearts, to be able to completely comprehend what you were saying to your church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk about freedom, something that our own country is established on, and depending on your view of what's been going on in our country of late. Maybe you don't think we're free any longer. Maybe you feel like we're finally getting even more free. Whatever your outlook is, we were established on freedom. In a lot of ways, the same freedom that Paul talks about, and in a lot of ways, a complete opposite freedom of what Paul is talking about. So first of all, we need to understand that spiritual freedom, spiritual liberty, is first of all a sin status. We are free from sin. We're free from the penalty of sin. We no longer have to be punished for our sins eternally because of what Jesus Christ did for us. He took the penalty from us. In addition, we no longer are enslaved to the power of sin. That sin is still at our doorstep. It still tempts us. We still have to say no. We still sometimes say yes. We still stumble. We still fall. But it no longer has to control us. We have a choice. We have an option. We are controlled by something else, someone else, Jesus Christ. So first of all, to understand freedom, it's a sin status. It's also a law status. We are free from following the law of Moses, this list of requirements that were against us, as Paul writes in Colossians, was nailed to the cross. We no longer have to be circumcised. We no longer have to follow dietary laws, although some of these things are certainly helpful. We no longer have to do the things of the law in order for us to be in right standing before God. So freedom is also a law status. Freedom is a Holy Spirit status. Our life in the Spirit. He has called us to be free. Free to move in the Spirit. Free to receive the Spirit. Free to hear the Spirit of God. Free to obey the Spirit of God. Regardless of what other people think of us or say to us or legislate to us, we have this freedom in the Holy Spirit. When Paul talks about spiritual freedom, he's very much talking about also about Holy Spirit status. 2 Corinthians 3:17, Paul says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. They're one and the same. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Wherever there's freedom, there's a Spirit of the Lord. Wherever there's a Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Sometimes we can tangibly feel it, can't we? Other times we can't. But he's still here. He's still in us and with us, among us. He promises where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So first, the notion of freedom is so far away and it's hard to obtain. It's there for the taking. What makes it hard to obtain is, like the video clip, we're trying to do a rock. We're trying to beat our chains with a rock instead of the power of the living God. Spiritual freedom is not absolute control of one's life. Individual freedom. This is where sometimes we part ways with what America says, part ways with what the world says about what freedom is. The world says freedom is you get to do whatever you want to do. You get to be whatever you want to be. That whole understanding, that whole knowledge, that whole mindset is egocentric. Everything revolves around me. It's what I want to do. It's what I want to be. It's where I want to go. And by God, I have the freedom to do that. That is a source of freedom. And it's a freedom that our nation has to some degree. And we're all thankful for that. But spiritual freedom in Christ is completely different than that. We're not, God doesn't make his plans around us. He's not like the sun or like earth and rotate around the sun. He doesn't rotate around us. He doesn't make his decisions based on our comfort, based on what our desires are. It's hard to break out of being egocentric. It's hard to realize the world's going to go on without us. The world's going to go on whether we like it or not. The things that we feel, the things that we're passionate about matter to a certain extent, but not in the grand scheme of things. God is much bigger than we are. And so, in order to completely be free, we have to understand that freedom in Christ does not mean I get to do whatever I want. Because sometimes what I want is in the flesh, is my sin nature talking, It's something that I desire, something that I'm lusting after that would harm me, that would harm my relationship with Christ. And so if I'm truly free, then that isn't the issue of my heart. It is liberation to do what God wants, to be what God wants, and to enjoy the life that God gives. Notice it's centered around God, centered around Christ. It's Christocentric, not egocentric. He controls my life. He controls your life. My emotions, my desires, my decisions are based on what he wants, and that's true spiritual freedom. Mortimer Adler posed this question, can any finite thing be absolutely independent? We are finite beings. We're not infinite. We have a lifespan. We're going to die in this earth suit. We believe, those who have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will live eternally in heaven with him. But as far as on this earth goes, we have boundaries. So I pose the question to you, can you truly be independent? No, and the answer is definitely a no, and it's definitely a no with or without Christ. It's a no, because Scripture says, in the book of Romans especially, that if we're not a slave to God, then we're a slave to sin. We are a slave. We are controlled by something. We cannot be completely independent. Romans 6:22 says, but now that you have been set free from sin, praise God for that, and have become slaves to God, they go hand in hand. Again, we're not completely independent because we are slaves of God. This is, I think, maybe where some of us miss out. We're banging our chains with a rock because we're trying to break free in the way that the world would have us break free. Christ breaks us free when he's in control, when he is the master. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, being set apart, being different, being more like Christ, and the result is eternal life. Spiritual freedom is interdependence, not independence. We are interdependent on Christ, not on ourselves. It really is two masters, either self or Christ. If we're choosing self, we think we're independent, but in actuality, we're serving sin. We're serving ourselves. We're ultimately serving the devil. If we're serving Christ, then we're interdependent on his power, on his majesty, on his mindset of life. Freedom is also social status. Spiritual freedom has something to do with our social status as well, which is our body life. He's created us not to be lone wolves on an island. Just mixed a metaphor there, I believe. He's called us to coexist with one another, with other believers, and to have body life. Most of our scriptures has to do with how we can get along with each other. Verse 6 that we just read in Galatians chapter 5. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. We've established that. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That is such a central aspect of spiritual freedom that, again, we find ourselves banging with a rock, our chain, trying to break loose. Why? Because there's something about us that when we are chained to something, we want to hide. We want to hide out of shame, but we also want to hide just to get away, and so that I'm trying to do it by myself. And we lose out on the strengthening, the encouragement of the body. So true faith, truly being free in our faith and free in the Spirit, expresses itself through love, which includes people. Verse 13 of Galatians 5. You, my brothers, were called to be free. That's our calling. When Christ called us, it was to freedom. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Everything about Christ, everything about his grace and his freedom makes carnal people, those who are still battling with the sin nature, go right up to that line and sometimes step over it and overindulge. Because we realize we're free. We realize that we can be forgiven. We realize that his grace is sufficient for us. He says we should not indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Isn't it interesting that he doesn't say, rather, get in your closet and pray. Rather, get in the tub and get baptized. Rather, do this or do that personally. He says something corporately. Instead of indulging in your sinful nature, serve one another. Instead of being egocentric, think about other people. Do unto them, serve them, love them. Do you see where I'm coming from? What he's really battling with us and what we're really battling with our chains that we're trying to break, whatever your chains are, whatever my chains are, is there's something about us that wants to look inward. We want everything to be centered around us. And so in order for our chains to be broken, we must let it be about him first and foremost, but also about others. You see that? Verse 14, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Christian freedom does not seek isolation, but fellowship. Freedom from what? That's the question, right? And perhaps you've had a great week. I pray that you have. And you don't feel bound by anything. Awesome. Please let me know how you did it. Free from what might be your question. And even if we're bound, maybe we can't even identify it. Paul helps us out in all of his letters, especially the book of Galatians. He lists some things that we are bound to. The law and its curse. Maybe we're not keeping the Sabbath day. Maybe we're not keeping the dietary commandments. Maybe we're not keeping holy days beyond the Sabbath day. Maybe we're not doing feasts and festivals and things like that. But maybe we're trying out of our own effort way too much. Maybe we're trying to gain brownie points, if you will, from our God and Savior. Maybe we feel like if we're not up to a certain level of doing, then we cannot truly have being in Christ Jesus. Then that means we're bound to the law and its curse. Bound to sin, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean, maybe of this whole list, it makes the most sense that we cannot go before the Father with sin. He looks the other way. So we're bound to sin. Every one of us are sinners, Scripture says. We fall short of the glory of God. And so Paul is saying we need to break those chains that bind us to sin. We're bound to self. We've been talking about that this morning. We're so bound with what we feel, with what we want, what we desire, what we dream, and it's backed up in our society. Our society says, yes, that's what you're supposed to do if you're to make it. And so we're bound by these things that we need to be free from. Ultimately, we are bound to our evil world and what it dictates. What it says is popular. What it says is appetizing and seductive. We're bound to those things. And so to answer the question, free from what? Free from these things, free from the law, free from sin, freedom from self, and freedom from our evil world. Verse 7 of Galatians 5. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? What was it that cut in? What was it? What is it, I should say, present tense, in your life, in my life, that is causing us to stumble and fall, causing us to jog rather than run, causing us to crawl rather than walk? What is it? Verse 8, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. This is maybe the most important verse in all of Galatians, and it seems like it's a very tame one, verse 8. if it's not from God. That's the criteria. That's the ultimate criteria. We can have a list, which Paul is generous with lists in his letters to the different churches, but we can throw all the lists aside. The real issue is whatever doesn't come from God. Whatever word, whatever command, whatever idea, whatever desire does not come from God. Verse 9, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. It permeates. It gets into all of it. Those little things that we're holding on to, those little things that have cut in on our race, are going into all aspects of our spiritual being, our physical being, and our mental being. If it does not come from God, just a little of it will cause large problems. Again, I'll bring up the list that we had before. This is what Paul points out. A little bit of the law, a little bit of sin, a little bit of self, a little bit of our evil world. I have an illustration here, a vase full of clear water. It's going to represent us, obviously, us during a good week. We're clean. Every analogy has a breakdown, right? We're never this clean, but this is us. And when we're running the race, we're having a good time. We're in God's presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is the Holy Spirit and freedom. And something in our life, something very small, the law, sin, self, our evil world, something that maybe the world looks at and says, no, that's good, you're being a good person, is going to be just represented by these two drops of food coloring. Notice how two little drops, something very small, insignificant, look at all of the water compared to two drops and how it infiltrates. Maybe slow at first. Maybe it's not making a lot of headway. But eventually it mixes in our lives. And then those little things become a lot of who we are. And it crowds out what Jesus is wanting to do. It crowds out his sovereignty. It crowds out his messiahship in our lives. And so we forfeit our freedom. Why? Because of just something little, something insignificant, something that we say, God understands, man, his grace is sufficient, right? If it does not come from God, just a little of it will forfeit our freedom in Christ Jesus. I hope it's scary, because it is. So scary that this is what Paul wrote in Galatians 5 that we just read. I want to point out what he's saying. He's using circumcision. Again, he says, I don't care if you get circumcised or not. It's why you're getting circumcised. You're getting circumcised in order to be right with God. So in doing that, verse 2, he said, if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Pretty sobering. What he's basically saying is he's drawing a line and he's saying, you pick. You pick, follow the law or follow Christ. With you, it might be you pick, all in your own effort, or follow Christ. Or maybe it's that pet sin that you like so much that just feels good. It just makes us feel amazing in our flesh. You pick that, or you pick Christ. It starts mixing in our lives. Verse 4, he says, trying to be justified by the law, you've been alienated from Christ. Alienated, removed from Christ. And the second part of that sentence in verse 4 is, you have fallen away from grace. Wow. Just a little dabble, do you? Just a little thing in our life that we allow can cause us to be alienated from the freedom that Christ has for us. Is huge. Now these things can be, and I spoke about this a little bit last week. I want to expound on it a little bit more this week. It could be moral, amoral, or immoral. This is what I mean. Moral. He's talking about the law. How much more moral can you get? There's nothing wrong with the law. There's nothing wrong with his commands. It came from God. What's wrong is he's made a way for us through Christ Jesus, and we choose something else, even if it's morally good. Like the law, like good old hard work. It could be morally fine if we're depending on it other than depending on Christ. Then we're chained and the rock we're beating it with isn't doing any good. Or it can be amoral. In other words, it's not good, it's not bad, it just is. I mean, there's really no moral significance to it whatsoever. Whatever that is in our lives. You can't point to some things and say, whoa, why are you doing that? Unless that's all you do. And it's consuming all of your time, all of your effort, all of your love. Immoral, pretty easy, right? Sin is immoral. Anything that's immoral, that's the easiest of this list because it's the less confusing. Except it's the hardest on the list because it's what we want to do the most. We like to sin. So whether it's moral or amoral or immoral, it doesn't matter. It's getting in the way. It's contaminating. It's mixing with the purity that Christ has for us. And we're bound. We're no longer free. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 24. Paul says something incredibly important. He says, everything is permissible. And that's true of our society for the most part. Everything is permissible. We're allowed to do anything because we're free. We can do anything that we want. And Paul realizes that, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. Doesn't mean I should do it. It's detrimental to us if we do it, even though nobody's stopping you. Go for it. Knock yourself out. But not everything is constructive. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Not everything builds up. Not everything builds. You're allowed to do it, but it might tear down your body. It might tear down your soul. But you're free to do it. Nobody's stopping you. Everything's permissible. Maybe no one even realizes it. Nobody notices. It's just something that isn't overt. And so you think it's okay. Because nobody has stopped me. Verse 24, nobody should seek his own good. It goes right back to that. What Paul is saying in both letters to the Corinthians and to the church at Galatia is the same thing. Stop centering around yourself. Do good to others. So, two huge keys here that can be learned. Number one, we need Christ for everything. And number two, when we're egocentric, when we're just focused on ourselves, start focusing on other people. Love them, serve them, pray for them, lead them. I want you to do something for me. I want you to stand and I want to lead us in a prayer. Will you do that for me? Allow this to be our prayer, but also allow this to be our action, okay? And what I want to do, one of the most important things that we can do with Scripture is pray Scripture, right? So I have two Scriptures that are going to be up on the screen. I'm going to read them out loud, and I want you to pray them. Whether you want to do it out loud or silently to yourself, that's up to you, but I want to make it clear, we're doing more than just reciting them. We're doing more than just reading them. We're doing our best to pray them. Okay, and they're going to be up on the screen for a little while. I'd like to have the worship team come up. And as the worship team is playing music, they're going to still be up on the screen. And after I finish reading them, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And then what I want you to do is just continue to pray these scriptures. Will you do that? Okay, the first one is from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Allow this, again, to be a prayer to God. God, I ask that you would catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. God, I pray that those little things, Lord, that spoil our fruit, God, that they would be removed, that you would catch them. Lord, that instead of us being in captivity and being chained, that you would chain those things instead. Lord, that they would be in captivity, that they would be removed from our lives. God, help us to get rid of those small things that do such amazing damage. Second scripture is one that we read, Galatians 5:1. God, we know that it is for freedom that your Son Jesus has set us free. Lord, help us to stand firm. Help us to stand firm, Lord. Help us to not deviate from our path. Lord, to not get tripped up, to not let other things or other people hone in on us and get in our way and interrupt our race. Help us to stand firm. Lord, and help us to not let ourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. We thank you that you have set us free. Lord, we ask that you would set us free once more this morning. But God, I pray that once free, we would be free indeed. Lord, that we would not continue to go back to slavery like a dog goes back to vomit. God, I pray that you would protect us, Lord, that you would continue to remind us of your word. Lord, those small things that seem so insignificant, Lord, can really penetrate our whole entire life and take away our freedom. Lord, we want to be free in you. And God, we realize that we cannot do that in of ourselves, Lord, that you have to do it for us. God, make us free. Make us free in Jesus' name. Amen.